This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Every single year, people, when they start going to Hajj, they say, is Al-Maghrib doing Hajj? And every year we say, no. But guess what? This year, for the first time ever, we are very happy and excited to launch the Al-Maghrib Hajj package. And it is it's a pretty crazy lineup. You have Houston's favorite, Sheikh Kamal Al-Makki, Sheikh Saad Taslim, Sheikh Abdul Bari Yahya, Sheikh, who else do we see over there? Sheikh Dawood Butt, Dr. Sajid, myself. And so you can check out, I can't even see what it is, almaghrib.org/hajj. And Buna said he's going too. I don't know how he's going. But inshallah, yes, Buna will be there too. Almaghrib.org/hajj. So take a picture of this, send it in your WhatsApp groups, even if you're not going to Hajj. Chances are you know somebody who knows somebody who's going to Hajj. And inshallah ta'ala, this becomes a source of benefit for them as well. Okay, so that being said, Alhamdulillah, salat salam ala Rasulullah. I wanted to speak about the people of the ditch. And this is a story that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Buruj. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam details it in an authentic hadith reported by Muslim. And he describes in a lot of detail, but I just want to give you a summary. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that there was a king who lived before us, meaning before the Sahaba. And it's understood that it was after the time of Isa ibn Maryam. So in that period between Isa alayhi salam and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there was a king who commanded people to worship him. And he had a magician. He had a court magician. And that magician was getting old. And he told the king, he said, listen, if I die, all of this magic that I know is going to die with me. So go and find me a boy who I can teach this magic to. And so they do. They find a smart boy, and the magician is teaching him magic. And this boy, when he would be coming to the magician, there would be a monk that he would pass by. And he liked what he would hear from the monk. And so he would stop by, and he would ask him questions, the addition by Tirmidhi says, and he would ask him about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he would get delayed at the monk on his way to the magician. And when he would get delayed, the magician would beat him. And so the boy complains to the monk and he says, whenever I get delayed with you, this guy ends up beating me. And so the monk told him and he said, if you get delayed at the magician, tell him that your family delayed you. You got delayed at home. And if you get delayed with your family, tell him that the magician delayed you. Either way, both sides, try to avoid the beatings. And the boy does. And on one day, as he's walking down the path that he always takes, the path was blocked by some terrible beast. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam doesn't mention what the beast was, but it was something that was scary. And so the boy said, and the path had been blocked off, nobody could pass. The boy said between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, today I am going to know who is better, the magician or the monk. And so he said, oh Allah, if the monk is better, then kill this beast. And he threw the stone. And the stone killed the beast. The boy then went and he told the monk what happened. And this boy has not even reached the age of puberty yet. He was prepubescent. That's what the word fatah means in Arabic. And so the monk says something incredible. He says to the boy, this boy that he himself had been teaching, this boy who didn't know anything about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until the monk taught him, he said he recognized something that indicated incredible humility. He said, today you are better than me. He says to the boy, today you are better than me. وَأَنَّكَ سَتُبْتَلَى. You are going to be tested. And so if you are tested, then don't inform anybody about me. The boy begins to perform miracles. He would ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to heal people. If people came to him, the blind and the leper, they would come to him and he would tell them, I don't heal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who heals. But if you believe in Allah, then I will make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he will heal you. And he would do that. Long story short, the king finds out and he begins to find out who are the people who believe. And he kills the monk and he tries to kill the boy a number of times. And the boy, every time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects him. The details are in the hadith, we don't have the time for now. But eventually the boy tells the king, after surviving multiple assassination attempts, he tells the king and he says, listen, I know a way for you to kill me if you're really trying to get rid of me. And that is you gather everybody in the town. And then you crucify me. And then you take a bow and an arrow, and where everybody can see you and everybody can hear, say, in the name of the Lord of this boy. And then, and only then, will your arrow be able to strike me. And so the king, out of his desperation, he did exactly what the boy told him. He gathered everybody, everybody witnessed, and then everybody could hear him say, in the name of the Lord of this boy, and he let the arrow go. And it killed him. Now, when everybody heard the king say, in the name of the Lord of the boy, they said, Amanna bi Rabbil Ghulam. They said, we believe in the Lord of the boy. This was exactly the nightmare that he was trying to avoid. And so now he had a bigger crisis than the boy believing, the entire society believing. And so what he did was he now resorted to a desperate tactic, and that was to build trenches and to fill them with fire. And whoever refuses to recount their belief or to recant their belief, then they will be thrown into that fire in those trenches. They will be burned alive. And people didn't recant. And people were thrown into that fire. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam concludes by saying that there was a woman with her child and she hesitated because of her child. And the child spoke and said, my mother, be patient because you are upon the truth. These people were all killed. It was a genocide that happened. It was a stain on human history. And I want to share with you just 4 points of benefit from Surah Al-Buruj that talks about this episode. Number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُتِلَ أَصْحَابُ الْخُدُودِ, cursed are the people of the trench, these people who committed that act. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, later on in the surah, he says, وَمَا نَقَمُوا مِنْهُمْ إِلَّا أَن يُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَمِيدِ. This is amazing. Allah says the only reason why they were hated is because they believed in Allah Al-Aziz Al-Hamid. Many times we don't pay attention to the names of Allah. We just kind of memorize them at the end of a verse. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions two names. Number one, the mighty. Number two, the praiseworthy. The mighty indicating to us, the scholars mention, indicating that he had the power to stop it. This was not because he was unable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could prevent a genocide in Gaza today. He could prevent massacres in Sudan today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could protect massacres in the Congo. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could protect from murders in Houston. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not overpowered by evil. He is Al-Aziz. And he allows for it to happen. And he is Al-Hamid. He is praiseworthy in allowing for it to happen. He is praiseworthy. How is Allah praiseworthy in allowing for it to happen? Because the consequences are praiseworthy. When that person is killed and they are a martyr and they enter into Jannah, that is a praiseworthy consequence. And when the criminal has the worst of crimes recorded on their ledger so that they meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that, that is a praiseworthy consequence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا يَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ خَيْرًا لِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah says, do not let the disbelievers think that we are giving them respite, we are giving them delay, we're giving them rope, we're giving them time out of goodness for themselves. It's not good for them. إِنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ لِيَزْدَادُوا إِثْمًا. We are only giving them that time so that they can increase in their sin. We are only giving that time so that they can add more crimes to their bloody history, so that they could add to that the bombing of hospitals and the killing of children and the killing of mothers and the killing of journalists and all of these hideous crimes that you could not imagine that they were capable of doing. I'm giving them respite so that they could fill it with all of that. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. And they will have painful punishment. They will have humiliating punishment. So don't think that that delay is good for them. So number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that he is mighty and that he is praiseworthy. Number two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِي لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ شَهِيدٍ. The one who to him belongs the dominions of the heavens and the earth, and Allah is a witness over all things. Even if there's a media blackout, even if there's a media blackout, even if nobody knows, even if they won't tell, even if you've been able to get them to sign a non-disclosure agreement, even, Allah is a witness over all things. And that is comfort for everyone who has ever been wronged and is unable to share, unable to speak, unable to articulate, unable to get their dignity back, unable to get their justice in this life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a witness over all things. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, I'm jumping through the surah, but the third point here is, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْكَبِيرُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who believe and do righteous deeds, they will have gardens underneath which rivers flow. That is the great victory. And it's interesting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't mention al-fawz al-kabir, the great victory, anywhere else in the Quran, except in Surah Al-Buruj. After describing this episode that I just described to you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls it the great victory, even though on the outside it is the great loss. It is the great loss of life. It is a people who have been exterminated. It is a cause of sadness every time you read about it in the history books, every time you see it play out. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not dealing with the dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is dealing with the dunya and the hereafter together. And He is telling us that that is a great victory. As long as you are able to exit out of this life and be told to enter into paradise, then you've won. And it is the great victory. The greatest victory is that a person experiences the pleasure of Allah. However it is that they experience the pleasure of Allah, whatever gets them there. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu has a beautiful statement. He says, "La khayra fi khayrin ba'dahu an-nar, wa la sharra fi sharrin ba'dahu al-jannah." He says, there is no goodness in any goodness that leads to the hellfire, and there is no evil in any evil that leads to paradise. And the last thing that I'll mention from Surah Al-Buruj is for the oppressor themselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الْوَدُودُ. That's an amazing pairing. It's incredible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He is the forgiving and He is the loving. What if I am the one who did wrong? What if I harmed someone? What if I caused someone incredible grief? What if I caused someone incredible pain 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, however long it is, and I've repented and I worry about the effects of this sin? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He is al-ghafoor, He is al-wadud. He is the forgiving. And you know, when we forgive human beings, it might take us a very long time to forgive somebody. And even that might require a lot of work, a lot of therapy. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and to be able to love that person again, that's really hard. To forgive, I might get there. But to love again like it never happened. And so when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He is the forgiving and the loving, that is an incredibly inspiring statement to let us all know that there is no one who is alive. This is what we believe. There is no one who is alive on this earth right now who is not only beyond being forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if they turn to Him, but there is no one who is beyond being loved by Allah. He is al-ghafoor al-wadud. Allah is the forgiving and the merciful. And so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His love and the acts that will garner us His love and the love of those who He loves. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His mercy. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.